In this episode, I talk about sex after 50. So, what are the considerations of that in particular? What shifts do I see clinically in my patients of, both singles and couples after 50? Like, what happens? What comes up? What are typical considerations or complaints or differences in those populations? So, please tune in, and I look forward to your feedback. Hi, welcome back to the Pleasure Project with Dr. Jen. And today we're going to talk about sex after 50. So originally I was going to do 40, but I realized actually that there is a more noticeable shift, I would say, after 50. I think that is really a demarcation, especially because of women's tendency to be really in menopause at that point. So that is a big shift. But also, just life, kind of a bigger frame is that life happens differently around 50. Oftentimes, couples are looking at empty nesting. They've got kids that are out of the house or on to the next thing. They've got differences in career. So many people are mid-career. Kind of starting to look towards retirement and that type of thing. They might also be sort of sandwiched in between those generations of parents that are aging and then kids that are growing up and kind of moving on. So they're shifting responsibilities. Those types of things are happening. And we have to consider the larger picture because obviously it's what's happening around you that significantly influences your mental capacity, your mental load in terms of all the things you're responsible for, but also how you feel about yourself and the world and your body is a whole other choice, other piece to consider. So looking at the stressors that are commonly happening at that time, is important. The other piece too is that health things start kicking in for many people. If they've had maybe a tricky lifestyle along the way, then they might start having issues with blood flow, with cholesterol, with heart disease, with even with cancers, that type of thing. That tends to start kicking in by 50. So, the picture just looks different. I would say too that by the time we are 50 plus, we're looking at life with some perspective, right? We've had some hardships, we've gone through some stuff, we've moved, we've raised kids, we've sort of tackled a career or two or more in my case. So really looking at things with more perspective, right? It's not I feel like sexual desire and sexuality in general is so much easier to just sort of give into or participate in when you're 22, 25, like you're not really thinking about it so much because you also don't have all the responsibilities and all the considerations and all the chatter around body and et cetera. So as people age, and I'm thinking women in particular here, there's many things going on. There's many things at play, and we have to consider all the elements. As I've talked about before, I really like to look at things in three buckets. Biological, second bucket is psychological, and third is interpersonal. So if we look at the 50-year-old woman through those lenses, let's start with the biological, right? What has physically changed in her body? Likely, if she's going through menopause, she might be having some dryness. She might also feel cranky. She might have some fatigue or some brain fog. Sorry if you're not there yet, that this might feel discouraging, but not everybody has all of these, but depending on your body and other circumstances, like it might be happening for you. Those things impede desire. Those things make it hard sometimes to prioritize sex. So addressing that with your gynecologist is going to be really helpful. And also just understanding what's even happening so you don't just feel like you're in this dark place that is so frustrating, and trying to kind of move away from it. So also I would say that there's a big shift, that's happening at that age for women biologically in terms of metabolism. So a lot of times women are seeing some weight gain, which also, is a biological component that has psychological effects. So they might be feeling like, what the heck is happening? I'm shifting into this new body. I'm also more tired. So really looking at the elements of change and having to sort of recalibrate expectations, in terms of what they're eating or what their exercise regimen looks like, et cetera, is going to be happening. And so that's not in a vacuum, right? You have to consider sort of what's at play and what factors in. Now, of course, men have some of these issues too, although I would say they tend to happen a little bit later than 50. They tend to, I think, have a more steady biological functioning at 50. So, second category being psychological. Now, if you're tired or if you're stressed more, obviously that's going to factor into the psychological piece. Stress would come from, like I mentioned before, maybe if you're caregiving for your parents or if you're in a high-pressure job. 50 is when women are really at their height in terms of typically career success, right? They've been climbing the ladder through their 30s and 40s, and 50s is really when they're hitting their stride as executives. It's also just a lot of juggling, depending on the age of your family. If you had children, there's a lot going on for the 50-year-old woman and 50 plus. So that factors into how can I juggle it all? What do I prioritize? Where is my desire in this, and where is my own priority of self in this? Because sometimes that's really hard to negotiate, right? If you feel like you've got everybody that needs something from you, and then trying to sort of decide what comes first, it might be what's easiest to get to, or you might forgo your own pleasure in that process. I do find too that psychologically, it's an interesting shift that happens, usually kind of between 40 and 50 for women, where they stop caring so much what everybody else thinks. And I think that's kind of beautiful. As they start to recognize, that they can't win and they can't please everybody, and so they really just have to kind of please themselves and decide what works for them. And so that starts to cause a shift in terms of what do they feel like matters and what do they want to engage in terms of priorities, which include sexuality, right? Like, are you going to decide that the sex you're having is the sex that you want? Because I do think it's also sort of a correlation, I would say there's a correlation right now that I see with the clients who are maybe older than about 45 or 50, where they entered into relationships in a time where there was more of a significant imbalance in power. And so they sort of went along with it sexually for so many years. And I find that the younger generation doesn't have that same, I don't know, default position, I guess. There's definitely more conversations around women owning their bodies, women getting to say no, women getting to say yes, women asking for what they want, that type of thing. But people, women in particular, over, I would say, 45 at this particular snapshot in time, don't necessarily have that. So they've been having oftentimes sex that they're not really liking all that much. And they don't necessarily have the history or the language to ask for something different. Because I have those conversations quite frequently in my office as a sex therapist of like, wait, it's not that you dislike sex, it's that you don't like the sex you've been having for many years. And so let's try to rediscover that. Let's look at what might that include. would be different that would actually make you interested in this. Now, of course, a woman's sexual needs can change over time. She might, be more adventurous as she gets more confident and older, or she might figure out what she really likes and feel more inclined towards, limiting it to certain things. But it's the idea of really owning what you like and knowing what you even like. Like, this is a conversation that we have pretty consistently in the pleasure circle when I run the small group offering, because I would say the women in there tend to be between 40 and 70. So they're kind of in the population I'm describing. And many of them have felt really ambivalent about sex because it's never been very pleasurable for them. They've never really liked it that much. And so they're sort of looking at it going, do I need this? Do I want this? Is this going to enhance my life somehow? Or, am I really doing it as more of a relational gesture for my partner? So I'm a big advocate of like figuring out how do we figure out what you like, how to cultivate that, how to communicate that, and go forward in a different way than where you've been. So the psychological part matters because it matters how she feels about her body, how she feels about herself in the world, how stressed out she is, how deserving she feels, that type of thing. So then bucket number three is the interpersonal. So that's you plus another. So I sort of just mentioned this, but like women's relationship to their partners really matters. And I would say at 50, oftentimes I see women sort of wanting more equality, wanting more, they've been doing so much in the relationship over the years and they really want it to generalize to all areas. And so the conversation about sex is very different. They're not being coy, they're not being flirty and playful, they're actually being more practical. Like, this is what works, or this is what has happened historically, or this is our pattern. And so I think it's really beautiful, actually, in couples therapy to watch that. It's a very tricky conversation. It can feel quite scary for many couples, but to really unpack what has been our holdups, what were the best times that we were able to have sex, and what have been like the cringy times where it was like, oh, that didn't go very well, I find that oftentimes both partners feel a lot of hesitation to initiate, and that is because in previous interactions there has been fallout. There's been embarrassment, or there's been rejection, or there's been just awkwardness of all different stripes. And so it's a feedback loop that discourages them from trying again. And so we have to first name what has gone down in the past and what was so hard about it. And I do find that there is a greater likelihood that older adults, meaning over 50, are willing to have that conversation in a really respectful and mature way. Now, of course, there's a little bit of like sheepishness sometimes, like, gosh, that's hard to talk about. And it might be, one of them is having erectile dysfunction, or one of them is having pain with penetration, or one of them feels really body conscious, or one of them is really distracted by privacy or judgment, perceived judgment, that type of thing. Like, there's a million versions of this. And what happens is people sort of collapse into this like avoidance where they just don't want to deal with it because it's too complicated. It feels too not even embarrassing, but just potentially hurtful to the other person, or oh, it just feels too vulnerable, really, to say out loud. And so I just think my clients are so brave when they are willing to come in and have this conversation. And I think what's really cool is I have quite a few couples in their 50s, 60s, 70s. I've even seen couples in their 80s that want things to be better on this front. They really want to get honest and to open up about what might be possible. And to have that conversation in a really constructive way, we also have to acknowledge, where have you been? What is your history together? What do you know about your own body and your own erotic template? Like, what do you like? And do you even know what you like? So, where have you been historically? And then, where have you been relationally? Because, of course, that's going to factor in. And where do you want to go? Many couples sort of just do more of the same because that's what's familiar. They even have sex at the same time, in the same place, in the same way, which is fine. If that works for you, great. Like, if you've got a rhythm down and you know that you're both into this, kind of series of actions, that's great, then go for it. But I find that many couples feel sort of bored by that. Like, they kind of would appreciate some changes, some novelty of some sort, some playfulness, some desire expressed, or some flirtiness, especially like from their partner. And this is not like a huge swing from where they are. This is like little actions sprinkled in the relationship that can really wake up the libido, that can really wake up the mind and start to, give a little spice between them. I find that the willingness to turn towards this can make all the difference. And also, the individual psychological holding matters too. Like, so often, in couples work, I ask them to first check in with how they're doing individually, because the stress that they're bringing in the room, or the fear, or the resentment, or whatever it is going to matter interpersonally, right? We can't just put that in a compartment and have it be separate from the work that we're doing. It all relates. And so, having some awareness ha of your own feeling state and of your maybe limitations or hesitations as you're coming in the door, I think can be really helpful and powerful. So I try to get couples to sort of name that. Name what they're coming in with. Name, if there's tensions that need to be resolved, then let's do that. Let's clear the channels so that we can actually get you talking about more playful things. Because if you're holding some of that stuff, it's very hard relationally to shift into a place that's going to be vulnerable, right? Where you're talking about positions, or you're talking about toys, or you're talking about ways to touch, or you're, trying to be in this place where you're asking for needs. It's very hard to do that if you don't, on some psychic level, trust the other person. So we've got to have that foundation in place so that you can make that shift. Because you need to trust that person. And also, it's very hard to shift into that mind space if you're still holding resentment. Or resentment's sort of like the broad stroke way of saying it, but oftentimes there's been unresolved exchanges between a couple, or there's just general annoyances, right? We all find certain things about our partner annoying. And so if those things aren't at least moderately addressed or resolved, again, it's hard to shift into a place where you're going to be playful or silly or open, receptive, to advances and to expressions of sexuality. That is just a headspace that, typically needs to have trust, not always for people, but typically trust is going to help facilitate that. And also not excessive distraction, not crushing fatigue or stress, right? There can't be more fundamental things that are at play that have to be addressed before you can go into sexuality, because otherwise it feels just like you're totally checking out, which has a very different essence to it when you as a couple are using sex to sort of get off and just kind of get away from your problems. That's going to feel very different, and that's fine to do sometimes, but I wouldn't say it's a steady diet. It's not a great way to operate collectively. So knowing yourself well enough to be able to shift into that space where you have some trust, and I would say also some ability to be curious with one another, like re-meet this person, re-meet their body. I love starting couples with sensate focus because it feels really basic, but it's actually there's a lot going on during that exercise. Like level one is literally just caressing your partner, and there's no talking, and typically there's no music, there's no advice giving about how to do it or where to do it. It's just giving. And you're really focusing on how you feel as you're touching your partner. Like, that's such a basic skill for sexuality. And so allowing that and not feeling totally self-conscious or feeling like you have to break the tension with a joke or anything like that, just staying present and touching one another is so powerful. And so if I love that as a basic kind of entry, because then it gives people some foundational familiarity with one another, right? It starts to introduce just a little bit of connection, a little bit of touch. And even if you've been having sex, it's slowing it way down and sort of rediscovering each other's body. Because oftentimes, like I mentioned before, you're having sex in the same way, and this sort of disrupts that. It introduces you back to your partner's elbows and ankles and inner thigh and lower back, and like, right, there's all these other places you can touch that might feel curious and might feel intriguing, and likely just start to help the whole relationship kind of shift, right? The relationship to sex and sexuality shifts. Curiosity is very much your friend. So I like to have couples that are in this space, and usually they're more willing. The younger couples are like, nah, don't want to do that, right? They're so geared towards penetrative sex. But couples over 50 and individuals over 50 really tend to like the sensate approach a bit more because it is tactile, because there is that slowing down and that appreciation, right? The goal is not just orgasm, or sometimes it's not even orgasm at all. The goal is connection. The goal is sensual pleasure. And so it's a different conversation with folks over 50, I would say. So looking at what has changed for you and where are you in your current circumstances and what do you need in your body? Like oftentimes I'm working with couples who have that are over 50 that have sexual dysfunction. There's something's not working right, and or working like it used to. Let me say it that way, because working right is sort of relative, right? But it's not working like it used to, or working like you want it to. That's okay. So what happens is you have to accommodate. You have to make a change. You have to do some stretching, or drink some water, or buy a nice lube, or take a pill. Or get an injection. There's all kinds of workarounds. And what I appreciate is that the older couples, and older being over 50, are more practical about these things because, again, they've lived some life and they understand that sometimes you need to take an extra step to get what you need to happen. And so they're willing to do the work. They're willing to accessorize as needed, or maybe do some interventions or do some preparation of their body to better. And it's not so embarrassing. It's not so like, there isn't so much ego involved. Like younger people have a lot of ego. And what is that saying that like youth is wasted on the young? I think it's kind of true. But I do appreciate that the older clients that I see don't have so much ego. They're more they've lived enough life and they understand this is kind of where they're at now and this is what they need. And so there's a practicality and a willingness to sort of be in this space. And I think that is awesome. I guess I don't want to endorse the idea that you have all these limitations because of your age, but I do want you to be realistic about where you're at and what is feasible. And so maybe you're not the lover you used to be, or maybe you never were that lover, but what are you now? What is possible now? And can you be grateful and can you be embodied in what is possible now? I find that, yeah, just sort of the relationship to the changing body is important. I mean, it's important just for health in general, but it's also important for sexual health because things shift and things stop working sometimes. And if you're having dysfunction, I would really encourage you to see your urologist or see your gynecologist as a first line and or talk to your primary care because some stuff just needs to be addressed. One area that I find in particular with women over 50 is their pelvic floor. A lot of times women are having various issues around that, and that could look like not full incontinence, but like some difficulty with holding urine, or they're feeling a lot of pain with any sort of penetration because that skin gets thinner and gets tender. Sometimes there can also be, I hate this name, but it's atrophy. There can be some atrophy that's happening inside the vaginal canal. There's various things that are happening that just, there's tenderness. Sometimes there's tightness that can also happen. I know that historically a lot of people have been encouraged to do Kegel exercises and that tightening. But some women are actually too tight. So if you're having pain or if you're having differences in previous functioning, right, you're looking at your own baseline, then I strongly encourage you to get checked out just to sort of see what's happening and what's recommended. I think that pelvic floor physical therapists are miracle workers and they really do understand so much about the pelvic floor that a lot of physicians do not, because it's pretty specialized. It's a whole complicated network of muscles, and it includes, kind of that whole region. And so, breath work is really important. Like not just breathing, like of course we're all breathing, but breath work. Like if you take a breath that goes all the way down, that goes all the way into your pelvis, meaning if you imagined, like if you were going to stop the flow of your pee. And relaxing all the way down and breathing all the way in. That is not a way I ever used to breathe. I didn't know that was a thing, but a pelvic floor physical therapist taught me that. So a lot of times, like understanding what is happening, and you know if your body is behaving differently. So addressing that and honoring that, I think is going to be really, really helpful for women over 50. I mean, women of any age, but certainly over 50. So just noticing if there's tenderness, if there's tightness, if there's discomfort, all of it is worth addressing because we can make this more comfortable for you, and the whole process can therefore be more desirable for you, right? Because if pain, as a basic thing is happening, that is going to make the mind say, no, thank you. That is going to make you push away from it. And so oftentimes I get couples in who are just sort of at a standstill because, at somewhere along the line, somebody was having some discomfort or sexual dysfunction, something stopped working and they didn't want to talk about it collectively. So they just started avoiding it. And then they've gotten into this like long-term pattern of avoidance. And that's not necessary. Let's talk about it. So, I don't know. I'm thinking at some point it would probably be helpful to do maybe some sort of like Q&A or, kind of live thing. But I would really welcome your questions on this topic, actually. And if I don't know the answer, I will find out for you. Like, I can talk to urologists or gynecologists or pelvic floor physical therapists and help get answers to your common questions. So would welcome those in the there's a question section as part of the podcast that you are welcome to send me those because I would like to hear them if you have them. So hopefully this has been helpful. I unpacked a lot of things around this topic, but I do think it's important because it's different. It's different, and I also find that people over 50, women in particular, are oftentimes very invisible in our culture. Like they aren't sexualized, they aren't considered desirable, they aren't seen as beautiful. And so it's hard for us to still own that, own ourselves as sexual creatures in that soup that we are all swimming. So I'm encouraging y'all to consider yourselves as deserving, vibrant, beautiful creatures that absolutely can have a good sex life. So I would love to hear your comments and I would love to hear your questions. So let me know. All right. Take care.